Welcome to our show, Geeks and Ride Podcast, where we talk about video games, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hey.
And Ted.
You always start with Alex.
Aww. Sometimes I start with you.
I think you like him more.
Okay. Which, I mean, more too.
He's more likable, so there's that.
What about Anna?
Yes, yay, Anna's here.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay. And Jordan.
You know, we shouldn't be allowed to talk about Fuchs' theorem either, because F-U-C-H.
All right, Anna Jo. All
right. We should be able to talk about that theory. It'll scratch an itch that's suppressed through the whole podcast.
Oh.
I keep naming my Magikarp S-C-H-I-T-T-S-T-A-I-N.
No, it's okay because it's two letters off.
It gets past the swear filter.
No. Yeah.
Last but not least, we also have Bill.
Yay!
Bill.
That's
right.
The person who knows how to edit.
I said
mastery
H.
Skill.
H.
Yeah, mine had an H in it also, and a C.
Yeah.
Why don't you name it Magic Crap?
Because that doesn't have any swears in it.
It has to be fun and swear. That's
naming
your characters.
And I named one P-H-U-Q-U-E-U.
This is sounding way too complicated.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of There's like a bunch of pho places in Seattle that pick funny names. They usually end with like King or actually, that's the only one I can think of. There's at least one. There's at least a few restaurants that are pho places, but then they just like say that they're the king of it. So you put the two words together and you get a funny swear.
Yeah, well, it's not really. Yeah. It's fucut. Fucut.
No, it's pho.
Fucut.
No, pho.
Pho.
Fucut.
Pho.
It's
or
a
you
long
could
U.
Just you could just say that you're in a.
There's no U in pho.
Fucut.
No, no pho. The soup. The Vietnamese soup.
No.
Soup.
Yeah, the soup. The pho. P-H-O, pho.
That's so trendy. You have all your many pho places.
It's not Vietnamese.
There's pho places in Pocatello.
It is, Ted.
Pho places in Pocatello.
Where's the pho places?
You uncultured apes.
There's pho paradise, and then or Thai paradise.
Paradise.
And then the Thai zap.
Oh, I just get curries.
Go get some pho. Treat yourself. It's like the best soup ever.
I totally love that. I'm all over the pho. It's so delicious. Like, you have all your veggies and everything in it, and then you can mix like any hot sauce with that.
Can't be better than curry. If someone gave me pho instead of curry, I'd say, what the pho?
There we go, that's the pho.
Yeah, and they'll say, huh?
Pho is like one of my most favorite foods. So.
Can't be as good as curry,
though. Anna was like, I want to go to Thai Paradise. And I'm like, well, I hope you have fun. I'll be at Sushi Family.
Oh.
So angry right now.
I take my sisters Alex, with me and we'll just go eat.
There's actually three places in town you can get pho at least.
I've never had pho.
Yeah.
You can get it on campus too, like
four.
At the college.
Four places.
Whoa, we're just adding numbers.
Too much pho.
Yeah.
It's not even exotic food. It's basically chicken noodle soup.
I know, and that can't be better than curry.
It's got that Asian flavoring that I hate.
It's good. I like Asian noodles, and like if I travel like to Taiwan or like another country, like I usually like to get their noodles, and that's pretty authentic here as far as like being close to the flavoring there.
The flavor they have there is what's weird about all of Taiwan food and made me not like it. So
I know the flavor of Taiwan.
I don't know what it was. It was just weird.
It is kind of like the thing that tastes like in everything, whether you have an apple to like sauteed meat.
Exactly. It's everywhere, and I have no idea what it is, and I'm not sure if I like it or not. Like, it's not horrible, but it's not great.
It is weird.
Thank you for showing pho solidarity with me, Anna.
Yeah, Alex, you're the ultimate pho fighter.
I agree with you, Alex.
Okay, how about this? I've never tried it. I might give it a shot.
I might give it a shot too, but if it makes me wish I had curry instead, I'm coming after you guys.
Why? If you don't, if you don't try it, how do you know whether you'll like it or not?
Saying.
If you end up liking it, it'll be good. If you don't like it, either way, a lesson learned.
Because curry's my favorite food of all the nationalities. I had Indian curry yesterday. It's delicious. It's probably my favorite of the curries.
Yeah.
But I love the Thai and the Japanese, all the curries.
We have a good curry. How do you deal with spicy? Do you like spicy?
Yeah, I love spicy.
Because we've got a curry at home, and man, it'll melt your face off. But it's so good. I know people who can't handle spicy that would just like power their way through the spice just because the curry was that good.
They're just weeping as they're like trying to cram a potato down their gullet.
I don't know if I can do. No, I can.
So, Alex, I have something for your rage. To point at, because we may gain a new Android user. Alex, tell me about what you think about the iPhone.
It's not great. The iPhone X8 and Plus just kind of look terrible. That's pretty much it. Like, who amongst you has actually watched the video for the keynote? I didn't even bother. I just read MacRumor's assessment for it, and like, I decided it wasn't for me.
I have a flip phone.
Okay, so Jordan's probably a negative.
I watched the little, if you looked at the website on your phone, like the little scroll down effect was really cool because it zoomed into the X really well. That's it. But other than that, it's just a friggin' toy and I don't care about it.
I think there's something to your theory because like the major feature is the Animoji feature, which just uses like that enormous processor. The dinosaurs, a 10,000 on Geekbench for the multi-core score, which is pretty darn good. That's in line with like Xeon's from like 10 years ago. They're using it to basically do facial recognition so you can be the talking poop. You can be a poop emoji and like you can send a talking poop that's modeling on your facial expressions.
It mirrors your facial expressions.
You can be the talking Waldo.
No. I want to say right now, I'm going to just say that I am opposed to all superimpositions of animated things on faces. Like when you take a picture and there's a cute little...
bunny ears?
No, don't you remember Waldo, the Black Mirror episode?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not. It's superimposing this. It's you're talking... It's talking.
I object to that.
Why?
Did I hear you mention Black Mirror a second ago?
I did.
Okay, yeah. We're talking about the podcast.
$1,000 iPhone.
No, it's $1,000. It's $1,000 for the 10, and then for the cheapest one, it's like $700. It's so stupid.
Spend $1,000 on a laptop, and the thing is like 7 years old and still... I'll admit, it's my backup laptop, but the thing's still a champ.
Yeah.
If my phone could last me 5 years... and they didn't want me to buy a new one next year, I might drop $5,000, or I might drop $1,000 on a phone. But there is no way. Even Google was actually starting to do that. We're raising the price. The Pixels are getting expensive. Like, I went down to a just as powerful $200 phone that is, you know, I went to the Huawei's. It's a super powerful phone that's not expensive.
Yeah, it is true, because I was dissing on the consoles and their constant upgrades, but phones are the antichrist of this, because they're just like, hey, 6 months later, that old thing? You need to upgrade.
But the true enemy really is, I think we should all agree, even if we don't right now, is, superimposing anything onto you.
Yeah.
Like, still on that?
Yeah.
You don't like the Waldo effect?
No. You don't want to be a talking banana?
I don't want to be a talking... I don't want anyone
to be a talking... spreads political satire across the land.
You should be a talking banana. Imagine all the foulest jokes you could make.
I want to be a talking eggplant. That's what I want to be.
Ooh,
plus, there's no way that there isn't like a $3 app that comes out like next week doesn't do the same thing.
Oh, exactly.
Because their killer feature for this new phone that costs $1,000 is something that like a Russian teenager could probably write inside of like a couple of weeks.
To be fair, Snapchat or Facebook is going to be like, oh, we were literally just going to release that.
Yeah,
well,
really.
Here you go.
And they've got a dancing hot dog on top of that. Like, there's no... This is such a dumb feature. I can't believe they stuck it in their keynote. I'm so angry at Apple right now.
He takes so many shots before he came out there. He's like, you got to pitch it.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, how do you just wind up with that? Like, Ta-da! It's a thing that you probably will never use after you buy it.
He's like, I'm a panda bear, so when you call from your long-distance business trip, you can amuse your children as a monkey.
Yeah, I'm starting to get angry too now.
Actually. The worst thing about this is, like, if you see, like, have you ever had this happen to you? And they show, like, the black and white footage of somebody, like, sticking bacon in, like, a toaster and, like, their house catches on fire. And there's, like, a big red X. It's like, not anymore. Now with bacon cooker. You can stick it on your forehead. It eats up to 10,000 degrees and you get hot bacon that falls down your face. Like, they don't have a pitch for that. This is a solution with absolutely no problem. And, like, up till now, like, all of Apple's best keynotes have been, here's, like, a problem in, like, just dealing with, like, using technology on a daily basis. We found a way to make it easier. Like, they basically, this is the point in, like, this dystopia we're in. We're essentially in the point in Zardoz where the immortals are just killing each other for fun because they're so sick of living. Like, that's essentially the problem that Apple solved just now with the talking poop emoji.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, the comparison, because I've been hearing people talk about that the iPhone is basically the non-exploding Samsung Galaxy.
Yeah, phone. It looks like a Samsung phone.
Yeah, I know.
It looks so much like a Samsung phone.
Apparently, it is slightly smaller. Okay, it's the size of the Galaxy S8,
okay,
not the Note 8.
I don't know, guys. I think talking poo is all the trend. I mean, we elected Trump, and now we get the talking poo on your phone. That just seems like it's following. Apple's smart. This is a good business move on their side. They're going to make a lot of money off of this.
If Apple, like, said, like, just got rid of the talking fox, the talking chicken, and they did, like, a Donald Trump one that also does, like, a Mac and Talk read of your speech. It sounds just like Donald Trump. They don't for, like, Scaramucci, and then, like, no, that'd be good. I'd maybe pay like $1,000 for that, just because I'd laugh pretty hard for like about a week, and I'd feel bad about it later, and then just probably return my phone.
And I'd be like, I'm over it.
This is fun. Oh, and you only get that if you get the iPhone X, which Apple is doing the same thing that Microsoft stole from Apple, and because you know how there was the iPad, then the mm-hmm. iPad 2, then they released the iPad 1, like Microsoft, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One. Well, now they went iPhone all the way up to 8, and they just showed the 8 off, and now they showed off 8 and 10 at the same time.
I know. And they're like, what happened to 9?
No, it's X.
It's 10. They're calling it 10.
X.
Is the 8 plus supposed to be 9?
No. This is 10 because it's been 10 years since the iPhone was released.
Yeah.
So they straight up skipped it. They're pulling at Windows thinking, skip in 9.
I think there are good reasons to change the Windows 9.
9? Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, at least for that, there were like some technical reasons for it.
Yeah, because it was going to screw up a bunch of people's code if they called it Windows 9.
Yeah, that, you know, well, the Windows thing makes sense. The Apple thing, they're just...
Yeah, and the Apple thing is like an order of magnitude dumber because they said, it'd be like if Microsoft said, we release Windows 8 and Windows 10 at the same time.
I know.
And Windows 8 costs $70 and Windows 10 costs $100. I mean, which one are people going to go for? Like, they essentially just made a product that's like, well, it's really expensive and it's like at least perceptibly worse than this other product that's a little bit more money. Which I guess that's like a marketing strategy, but like you have to be like such a Philistine dork to like buy into Apple cramming $1,000 phone down your gullet just because you don't want to get caught dead with the poor man's iPhone.
I know, Alex. Look at me. I'm the schmuck with the iPhone 6 Plus now. I'm like four phones behind.
Honestly, I'm of my 6 Plus just keeps going for like another couple of years. I don't want to have to upgrade. Like, I don't want to like think about paying $700 for a phone. Honestly, if I drop my phone in the toilet, which, by the way, don't pay more than $700 for a thing you can potentially drop in the toilet. I guess we can go with, like, Android or something.
No, isn't it waterproof, though? I thought this one was waterproof, too.
No, yeah, but once it goes in, you put it in fire. Like, after like it touches poop, you put it in fire.
No, you just wipe it off, shake it real good, you're fine.
You don't want pink eye.
Joe, mine is even older than yours. Mine's really? A 5S.
Yeah, that's the way to be. I refuse to pay more than like $100 when I'm renegotiating my phone contracts for a new phone. Yeah. If they say, you can get the new one for like $400, I say, or not.
Yeah.
I'll see you next time.
Well, see, that's why I like mine. Like, mine, the $200, which is what most people's, the I dropped my phone and broke it is what you're going to pay to get it replaced. I own my phone. I'm not paying any more money on it.
That's what I said, and then it stopped charging.
Hey.
Oh, then I buy a new one.
Well, the good thing is that's why I got this one. Also own my phone. Yeah. It costs $20. It's pretty nice.
But how much of a contract did you have to sign up with it?
I don't have a contract with it.
You got a $20 phone with no contract.
Yeah, it's a flip phone.
Yeah.
I would still expect them to at least, get them for $50.
There's like $5 worth of hardware in that thing.
Yeah.
Bill, you've obviously never bought a phone from Rite Aid.
Oh, yes. Or Walmart. Yeah. It's
pretty sweet. I like my flip phone.
Jordan, I know. I might be total hipster and pivot back to you.
Honestly, we might have to. If, like, the expectation is smartphones are now a $1,000 thing, and we go back to, like, the 90s era of all pocket devices cost like what a used car from 10 years ago costs. I think we kind of have to do that. I don't think there's going to be a choice.
My phone's pretty much just like an iPod now, because I leave my normal iPod in my car and then just listen to music and make calls and text people.
Oh, yeah. That's what I like about mine. Mine has an SD card expansion. I have a 256 gig chip installed. It has music, movies, podcasts.
Yeah, it's like, everything. Well, because I do the Facebook too, but I wouldn't be opposed to the old days of like having to actually get on a computer to look at it like once a day.
Yeah.
It's a big time waster.
Mine has phone numbers.
So is mine.
Yeah.
But that's awesome. Then when I don't.
You got that snake game.
Oh.
No, I don't even
he
have
He doesn't
the
have a snake?
Nope. No snake game. They make you buy it. Nope.
Let's see. You have to pay money for snake?
No, yep. Don't remember. Because remember
that's,
when.
That's so cruel.
Remember when the website, like when you could get to those websites on your old flip phones, like 3gforfree.com?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know those, and you'd like download like Drug Wars and the upgraded snake. And
yeah, I'm still living that life.
Yeah, no.
I'm surprised like that homebrew community didn't just like keep going. Because like trying to develop apps for like Palm Pilots and like old phones, like that's a thing that's not impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like that just kind of went away like circa 2002.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
I don't know. I just whenever I have free time, instead of playing an app or whatever, I just read a book.
I know, that's what I'm trying to do. Just leave my phone.
I'm not sure what I'm gonna do because I beat Zelda.
You should read a book on Zelda.
I don't know.
That's why in my
You could listen to a book.
Can I give a timely recommendation, Ted?
Yeah, what's that?
You should try Mario Odyssey when it comes out next month.
Is it coming out next month?
Is it on the Switch, though?
Yes, it's going to be a Switch exclusive.
Oh, man,
I don't have a Switch.
How about that?
I need a Switch.
Yeah, I got Mario for the Wii U.
Well, my segue sucks then. I got to play Mario Odyssey.
You got Jordan excited.
Yeah, I have the Switch.
I'm excited.
So yeah, I totally played it.
An RPG?
No, nah, it's Mario Odyssey is like despite being called Odyssey, it's basically like Mario Galaxy or like Super Mario Sunshine or Mario 64. It's kind of just like an exploration platformer. 3D Mario, yeah, like 3D platformer, and it plays like about like all the other ones do. It's very pretty like the other ones in terms of art direction. The graphics are pretty good. They're about like Super Mario 3D Land or one of the other later 3D Mario games. The hat mechanic actually works pretty good, and they use it in interesting ways. Like there's plenty of puzzles. Like even the first demo level I tried, that you get to use the hat in interesting ways. Like you take over a bullet bill and use them to like crash into stuff, and it all just kind of works seamlessly. And they give you plenty of opportunities to, like try stuff if it doesn't work out right the first time. So it definitely plays a lot like Mario Galaxy or one of those. It's challenging, but it only gives you just enough enough challenge you're capable of handling.
I love Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. Actually, I managed to complete it entirely and then complete it as Luigi on the first one.
Oh, dang. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
That's a lot of play. That's like 300 hours deep.
Well, I don't think it took me that long or even close. No,
wait, it's 300 levels. That's what it was, wasn't it?
No, I don't remember how many levels, but to get all of it, it did take a while. But And it is basically the equivalent with Mario Galaxy 2, but you just play it straight as Mario, if I remember. And yeah, there's, I think it's 240 stars as Mario in Mario Galaxy.
Jeez.
Yeah, but it's worth it because those games are so fun.
Yeah, the Odyssey is basically the same deal with like kind of varied terrains that you go in. The level I play is like a desert, but there's also like other worlds too. Like there's a city, New Donk City, that you can walk around in, which Jimmy got to play that demo. I didn't get a chance to play in New Donk City, but she said that like the people that you hang out with who are like twice as tall as Mario in proportion like a normal human being are kind of creepy when Mario's like juxtaposed next to them. So, yeah, fair warning. Maybe it's still in New Donk City, but the cute skeletons in the desert, they're pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Man, that is really good news. Surprising and pleasant.
If you want to play, you should definitely pre-order it now if you've got Amazon Prime. It's $47 if you pre-order it now on Amazon Prime.
Well, I won't be able to play it this semester, but
oh,
yeah.
Where you pre-order it so you get a discount.
Yeah.
Remember,
oh, yeah,
pre-order games
right.
for Amazon
that's right.
are cheap.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, you should definitely pre-order it now because it's going to be a $60 game for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Shiveria.
I actually got to play this at the Nintendo World Championship in Tukwila, Washington, where I got to do a tryout for Mario Kart to go on and play it, well, the Nintendo World Championship 2017. And I was on the leaderboard for like a hot 30 minutes and they got bumped off.
Hey, that's still, you know, that's something to brag about.
There's no chance though. Like the top run was like 15 seconds lower than mine, so like I stood no chance.
But, so you didn't play each other; you just did like a best lap.
Yeah, it was a time trial.
Oh, okay.
But I got to do that. And the other game I got to play besides Mario Odyssey was Metroid: Samus Returns, and that it's pretty good. It's a remake of the Game Boy Metroid, Metroid 2. If you're into like the original Castlevania or Metroidvania type Metroid games, you should definitely give it a go. It's super fun. And that's it. Shoe leather reporting. Get my right shoe expression there.
Yeah.
Shoe leather reporting of the Nintendo World Championship 2017.
Oh, so they let you talk smack in the competitive Mario Kart where you can do the psychological games.
I would have stood a chance. Like, the kid in front of me in line had, like, 5 seconds better time than I did. I have to be like, oh, yeah, do you live in your mom's basement? And he's probably like, yeah, that's why I got better at Mario Kart time. And I just feel bad.
You're like, oh.
I'll humiliate you Mario Kart in front of your wife. How's that make you feel?
Yeah.
You're like, you can only trash talk if there's no possibility of retaliation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt really bad. That kid just totally smoked me. He explained like that there's like deep gaming secrets for doing a Mario Kart ride on for time trials. Like people like figure out how you could drive on top of like barriers and stuff while going full speed in Mario Kart 7. And like that's kind of required to like beat like the world record type times. I'm like, wow. Oh, there's not anybody here that's gonna like have studied Mario Kart like that. And yeah, like there's a dude who got a minute 14 on this track. And, like the highest I read online was like a minute 14. So yeah, clearly there's people that like know how to like play Mario Kart in like ways that kind of use exploits to get like a little bit extra time through. And Nintendo's like, yeah, they can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We said you could do it. We knew you could do it. We're letting you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
There's going to be people competing over milliseconds at the Nintendo World Championship this year for sure.
The one for the Wii, so that's been two Mario Karts ago, but I spent a lot of time playing against, you know, different ghosts trying to beat their best times. And, you can see all the tricks there just by watching them, and then you can see how they line themselves up, and you can actually follow their ghost on the screen, so it's easier to, like, do it that way. And I haven't tried with the new Mario Karts, but I assume that you can do the same thing, where you can do the time trials and play against the ghosts.
So, Mario Kart 7's a little bit newer, and it lets you do that.
Yeah, so, and that's really nice, because you can just see them right on the screen there, and so you can just try and follow their thing exactly, and then you can look and see where they made mistakes, and, like, try and cut them off as you're going through. But yeah, so I played a lot on like Dry Desert, I think it was called, and there's like a trick on there where you can like come up and you hit the corner just right, it just like instantly pulls you to the other side of the wall, like right around the corner, without like having to like jump up in the air and come back down, so it like saves a full like 5 seconds.
Whoa. Yeah.
That's cool.
So like, yeah, I can see people, someone just sitting there playing against the ghosts and not actually racing competitively other than that.
Well, you race against ghosts to go compete.
Well, but I mean, you got that, but you've also got the competitive play where you can't do these tricks because it's hard to set up some of them. And so if you're getting hit by shells,
yeah,
you know, if you're way out in front, that's one thing, but like you've got red shells on your tail every 5 seconds, mm-hmm. and you're not guaranteed those three boosts like you are in a regular time trial, so...
Yeah, the defensive play for... I would imagine, like, being good at time trials would help. But, yeah, Mario Kart's, like, a very... Like, it's a combat-oriented game. There's a lot of... There's, like, a lot of, like, trying to figure out, like, defenses for, like, attacks people do against you. And
yeah, you hang on to that little music box so that when the blue shell comes in, you hit it. And it knocks out the blue shell.
That one specifically, stuff like that. But pretty much a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the horn, can take care of... I'm trying to think if there's anything the horn can't take care of. Maybe Star? I don't know. Well, I've never tried that one. But yeah, definitely.
It might push him aside, but I also could see the shrinking one when it shrinks you. And
you'll drop it then.
The squirt, whatever the blue.
Yeah, but that doesn't even matter. You can see around it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
If you know the map's good enough, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, the squirt's like kind of the dumbest thing ever. Like, it only punishes people who are new at Mario Kart.
Yeah. Or that don't kind of like, all right, let me if I just look around. If I use my peripheral vision.
I know, they're like, I'm good.
Yeah, like, it doesn't take long to get better, the good enough that you the ink doesn't matter. Like, there's like a, like, after you've, like, done, like, the 150cc circuit Mario Kart, you could just kind of, like, drive with your glasses off. Or just fiercely drunk and probably not hit a wall. Like, it's not that bad to, like, get inked.
I don't know. I can't really drive without my glasses on. So, like, it would be really bad.
I've been to a couple I don't know, parties, whatever, where people played a drinking game with Mario Kart called Don't Drink and Drive. And the rule for that is that you have to drink a beer, like the full beer, during the race, but you can't be driving while you drink it. So you have to, like, stop. Yeah. So some people just chug their beer right at the beginning while everybody's racing off, and other people will, like drink a little bit and then like get Coast. Ahead and then, or like wait till they crash and then like drink some or something like that. But yeah, so you know, getting all blurry eyed is definitely a thing. But yeah, it's
like
fun.
The crash and drink strategy, like that could work that work really good, like the deeper you get in the game. Like maybe at the beginning you would just be like chugging, and then toward the end you'd be doing like, I'm gonna crash, it's gonna happen, so I'll just make sure to like add sips between.
All right.
They'll do that NWC. They made 14-year-olds chug a beer bong while I was there. It was really upsetting. There's this guy in this stuffed Mario costume.
He did it better than you can.
Yeah.
He cleared the beer bong 10 seconds faster than I could and beat my time on the track 5 seconds. And he's just like,
no big deal.
I watched a YouTube video to get the best beer bong time. I'm just trashing on this really nice kid that showed me some tricks in Mario Kart just because my time wasn't as good as his.
Just because he was the one who knocked you off the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
One less person, or not him, you would have been on the board.
He probably isn't even going to win either, is he?
No, not even close. Like, his best time was 125 was 124, 125 on that track. And yeah, there's someone there, like, by 9 a.m. there's somebody had like 114 on it. So
Alex, that's pretty cool.
My time sucked. I got 130. Like, I got, like, my best time ever is 125 on that track, but yeah, I got 130 when I raced.
What track was this again?
It was a Bowser Castle for the GBA on Mario Kart 7, and you had to use Bowser with the standard kart, standard tires, and the super glider.
So they made
you want to replicate this test at home.
They made you pick a cart?
Yeah, you had to use like a specific cart for it, because they want to make sure that everybody's using the same cart, same track, everything.
I would think that like that would add another layer of like strategy to it, like finding the best combination for your driving style, whatever.
Yeah,
but there generally is like
that's
the
not
best.
How the NWC works though. Like the NWC, like you're supposed to like train for a specific thing. Like it's always been that.
I guess so.
Like Tetris and Rad Racer and all that. It's like you couldn't pick anything. Like this is the challenge we set for you. You got to do it.
And the thing is that like the best when you look at the time trials on there, the best times on tracks are always by the same, like the top 20 are always by the same racer, like the same character. So like always.
Yeah. So they may have just like established like, look, this is going to happen anyway. So we want to like, we'll just like pick, we'll just curate a choice for them that like kind of fits with what they probably pick anyway.
So are you informed beforehand what the character and
it's actually published on the NWC website.
So you have some hardcore trainers. How much notice are you guys given? Like months?
Like a couple of months. Like I've been playing Mario Kart like at least a few times a week just to prep for it. I'll see if I can stick it in the show notes so you can see the remaining details. if you want to play, I think you're...
montage of your training.
Yeah, played to Eye of the Tiger.
And then, like every time I mentioned I was doing this, somebody they're like, "Oh yeah, like in the Wizard."
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
They'll see you crashing, and then Jamie's patting you on the back, and you throw the remote down, and she brings you into a wrapper.
Then I have like one of those water bottles that I've made since like the 1980s that only was like using like bikes, and like I just like kind of spray it on my face, and like I wipe the sweat off my headband and get back to play Mario Kart.
You know, guys, I normally object to sequels, but I think it'd be very appropriate to have a Wizard sequel.
I know.
Just 20-some years later, the same characters grown up.
Hey, everybody.
He looks around and he's like...
They have to do a little recasting, because I read that the guy who played Lucas, like, in terms of where are they now, like, I think Elijah Wood was one of the people in Wizard. I'll verify that, but... the kid who played Lucas is like on a sex offender list.
That makes it.
And, like I read up about. Yeah, he's the bad kid in the movie, and then like it's kind of better because like I read about on a Sega forum, so like Sega's just like really upset that they're dumb that like they didn't get a dumb movie made, so they just have to take down the Wizard as much as they can.
Oh, it's Fred Savage. Is who you were thinking of?
Yeah, Fred Savage. He's.
Oh, yeah, Fred Savage definitely do it again. He's looking for work.
Yeah, he's well. He's no, a
like Elijah Wood, I think was a is. Hold on a second, Wizard. There's like some other huge name actor that was in the Wizard. That, like just
Christian
had
Slater.
No, it wasn't Christian. Christian Slater was in there.
Bo Bridges.
No, it was like a guy who looked like Elijah Wood.
Oh.
Oh, you guys should probably move on. I'll look it up.
That's pretty amusing.
I just want that to be a sequel. I want them to bring everyone back. I want them to say, all right, so we're in our 30s and 40s right now, so it's kind of weird, but it's not really weird to get into a competition. And so,
hey, Alex is doing it. He's in his 30s.
It's not weird to get into a competition. And, they're like...
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah Tobey Maguire. There you go.
He was Lucas's like goon at the video Armageddon. Or Lucas Goon.
When I was there, it was seriously just like nothing but like 30 and 40 year olds, and then like a handful of like 15 to 20 year olds, and 15 to 20 year olds are just smoking us. Yeah. Like there's there's a bunch of dumb adults who are like, oh yeah, the Wizard's awesome. I'm gonna go do the NWC, cross off my bucket list. Or again, they're just like get spanked by these reflexes and like actually know how to play the game instead of just like, oh yeah, I learned how to drift the other day.
Yeah. It should have been like a later Rocky sequel where you were the Wizard back when you were young, and then kid's like, someone beat your record, Alex, and he says, that old man could never take me on, and then you have to be the old guy that trains him trying to take out
they made that movie. Wasn't it about Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
The King of Kong?
Yeah, King of Kong been way better for Steve Wiebe. Just like screaming as kid or doing like the Great Santini thing, just bouncing a basketball off his head while he's trying to make him play Donkey Kong faster.
No, I think that movie was called Pixels.
Oh.
Yeah, actually, you're right. That was the plot of Pixels.
Yeah.
Wait.
It was Ender's Game combined with like a later Rocky sequel.
Oh, don't worry. We're still getting a sequel off of Pixel.
So,
Vector.
Didn't IT just come out? It was a terrifying movie we watched this weekend.
Yeah. Or
this
week. I don't know. Did it come out?
IT. No, it was horrible. The like IT. It was all about this guy putting together computers and fixing computers. And he did like this crazy stuff. Like one time he like took the case and just pushed it across this carpeted floor. And I'm like, no, static. No,
not the case. Oh, the motherboard.
And then another time he plugs in the CPU, right? And he doesn't put on a heat sink or any thermal paste or anything like that. And then he just flips the computer on, but the switch was flipped on the back. So it didn't turn on. It scared the crap out of me. The jump scares in that movie, IT, was
what about when he plugged it into a 240 power source?
Oh, man.
And didn't switch.
And didn't switch the little thing on the back?
He let the magic smoke out. He never let the magic smoke out.
He's like, we all drink energy drinks down here in the basement. Yeah.
We all floating points down here.
Yeah. But seriously, it was legitimately terrifying. That was the scariest movie I've seen
really
in a really long time.
Oh,
yeah, I've watched really a lot of scary movies, and that was good. A lot of times they just go for the gore, like the Saw movies.
Yeah, and I can't some of the other ones.
And the gore, it's so overplayed. Mm-hmm. But this was like legitimately scary. Like the way he'd like look around corners, like at you
and
all
I
the
like
time.
I like how his eyes would twitch and stuff.
Oh yeah, no, it was fantastic. And I think they did really good with the CGI and everything on it as well.
Yeah, but, and the actor, he was saying how he was trying various things on his smile, mm-hmm. how he's getting his ideas to so he could make this nice, creepy smile.
Oh. I know, even like the opening thing where he's talking to Georgie, it's fun with the shifts where he's like trying to be friendly, but like little bits of like, ugh.
Yeah, he goes from like the 10,000 feet stare to like just talking to him and laughing, and you're like, oh god, this kid's gonna get it. And like, I didn't know what I was in for. I've never seen any of the other It things. I haven't read the books. So like right in the
first... Did you ever see the old ones?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Like right in the first 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those movies.
The Tim Curry movie from the 90s is actually okay. You should check it out. People give it a hard time, but it's not too bad.
They give it a really hard time. It has like a 6.9 on IMDb.
What do you expect for a made-for-TV movie
from not the early 90s?
Yeah. Not much, and not much is what we
like,
got.
What would you say it was on IMDb?
It was 6.9.
That's like perfect 10s for made-for-movie TVs. Or made-for-TV movies.
Or at least a Stephen King made-for-TV
movie. Oh, that's like 12 out of 10. That's like... top scores.
And the kids were awesome. Everybody was awesome.
Including every the kid. One from...
every single kid was good in his role. There was no weak, like, loser among the losers, because they're called the losers.
That's true. They're the most entertaining part of it. It was mostly the coming of age with a sprinkle... Well, not more of a sprinkle, a fistful of scare scenes.
Favorite scene, I don't think this is a spoiler. I won't go too deep into it, but my favorite scene just... hands down, was they were in the garage and they've got the little slideshow going on and it just starts going by itself and like
that's in previews. Yeah. If you're watching, I saw that. I can't watch any more previews.
Like it was looking kind of fakeish and then all of a sudden it just like it got like just right there in my face and I was
that's really entertaining.
It got me and I really liked the makeup on the clown. I think they did a great job with that.
Yeah, it is one of the better Stephen King adaptations. I don't know how they're going to do well with this sequel because the childhood portion is by far more interesting than the adult portion. Mm-hmm. And it's understandable to have children scared of this menacing clown, but it's a little silly to have adults scared
of
it.
Well, okay, but they saw what the clown can do.
So this movie, like, it doesn't have any of the adult stuff?
No, it's all kids.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool. Because that was a total drag in the books, or book.
So the what I heard was a made for TV movie came out in 1990, and so this is 27 years later, right? Yeah. Yeah. So the sequel's going to be in another 27 years.
That's right.
No, the original 1991 was two movies.
No, I know. I'm just saying. It's a joke, Bill. Nah. It's not real.
Nah.
I didn't notice that with the 27 years. Yeah,
you think that they'll bring back the same characters and people and just do it 27
years? Yeah,
they'll
just let them grow up.
Okay, actually, for that.
Hopefully none of those are sex offenders.
The child actors have been cast in the next one. So it's probably going to be flashbacks, but...
Yeah.
Or maybe this, like, little intro of...
Yeah, they might do a little bit, because there's, like... tiny little bits of when they're like slightly growing up and when they move away and stuff. So they
maybe,
might do that. But
maybe they like the children so well they just cast them as adults.
Yeah, yeah. They're just gonna wear,
just wait
like,
27 years.
Put on glue. No, they're just gonna put on glue on mustaches and CGI them as adults.
They'll like on each other's shoulders and put on a trench coat.
It'll be like Harry Potter. They'll be CG aged.
Well, no, it'll be like that. What was it? The Iron Man movie where he made himself really young.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be the opposite of that.
I know. Yeah.
So, what time period is this one set in?
It's in the 80s.
80s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they adjusted
because,
in the books.
Well, the book was the 60s.
This is the 50s.
Yeah, the book's the 50s.
Oh. So the 90s movie was the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least that's what IMDb says. What that?
Oh, yeah, they only put it up. It was like 1958 or 59 in the book, so that's just barely a change. But, yeah, they made it like 1989.
So kind of like how Stranger Things is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I thought, there were some parts where they're like riding around on their bicycles, and I'm like, this is just an extension of Stranger Things with a scarier monster.
Like, I know, is it scarier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Stranger Things I didn't think was scary at all.
But no, I meant it's not scarier. But is the monster scarier?
Yes.
If you put the two against Seven.
I would bet on the clown. Yeah. Pennywise would kick that thing's butt hardcore.
Oh, no, I don't have perspective on this. I don't get scared by any of this.
Or whatever.
So I didn't think the Stranger Things monster was scary, but I didn't think it was scary.
In a fight, who would win?
Yeah, I thought he was kind of like a shark.
Pennywise or the Mega Gorgon.
I thought.
Gorgon. You're right.
It's hard to express its weakness without getting into spoilers, but I think that it would be taken down pretty easily.
Okay. Well, and also, we're going to hold off on spoilers for a week or two, or we'll go on to other movies. Because movies are starting to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we didn't talk about previous, but.
I know. I'm excited for Kingsman. A couple other ones are coming out.
Yeah,
never
Kingsman's
get my movie pass. Those liars.
Okay, so did you get the email about the movie pass?
No,
it has been delayed.
Yeah,
aha!
5 to 6 weeks.
Well, it's
already
than,
been 5 to 6 weeks.
It's been a long time.
Where's my free movies?
Yeah,
I'm so entitled.
They're the ones that offered it.
Hey,
mine liars.
Mine says it's on the way. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I emailed them, and guess what I got in response?
A canned response.
Canned response,
because there's that many that they're having to deal with.
Dear familiar name not found.
That's what I tell them. I was like, did I start a company with false promises? No.
No, they didn't start it.
That
company's just been around.
Yeah, but if they reduce their price, if they weren't prepared for the influx.
They were not prepared for you to tell people about it on your podcast.
Course.
And now they're like dealing with the fallout
like,
of that.
Oh, crap.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Man, that Geeks Are Wired really screwed us.
Ah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Actually, you know what else is, though, I'm also excited about? It's coming up?
What?
The Snake River Comic Con.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up on the, 29th, 30th, and the 1st of September, and the 1st of October.
Uh-oh.
So those 3 days. And we're going to be...
I won't be able to go the 30th, going to a concert.
Well, luckily, the 29th is when we're doing a live, bring your questions, ask us. What do you want? We're going to do a live recording.
What time?
That is being set up. It will be on their website on snakerivercomiccon.com with all that, but it will be...
Oh, that's good, because...
probably later.
We find out the gender of our baby on the 29th.
Hey, congratulations.
Are you going to do that on the podcast live? Are you going to bring the nurse in?
Bring an ultrasound, and I'll be like... Come on, Doc. Tell me, is it a boy or an abortion?
Okay, well, but maybe I'll talk to him and we can see if we can get moved around, if need be. Okay, if that helps. We'll work with you.
Anna can tell you when the appointment time is.
No, we'll do it after. Okay. Don't worry about.
Yeah.
Let's just negotiate this on air.
On air.
Yeah, exactly.
Just right. The listeners.
I know.
They'll show up to your. Ultrasound, then they turn around and show up to the Comic-Con.
They'll be there with us. Yeah. Both places.
And you can get all 3 days. It's really cheap. If you're from outside the area, get a hold of the Red Lion or the Clarion in Pocatello. Tell them that you're coming down for the Snake River Comic-Con, and they have discounted rooms for people who are coming to the Snake River Comic-Con. So you can stay close, and there's a bus that's going between the two
Oh yeah, the major events.
Yeah, well, between all three of the event centers, so you park your car and don't drive it for 3 days.
Ted, I'm going to, from the audience, heckle your child's gender. If it's a boy, I'm like, why wasn't it a girl, loser? If it's a girl, I'll say, could have been a boy. That would have been nice.
Nice X chromosome, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be, yeah, I'm going to heckle you guys unmercifully.
All right. What else?
Pull you up on stage and make you podcast with us.
It's a one-way street. I'm sorry.
We'll just have the crowd like float you up.
I give, pick I you up, take. And
I once thought that about my anus, but then there was that night in Mexico.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's what everyone who spent their night in Mexico says.
Jordan, so, we'll start wooing. I've been to enough concerts this year. I'll say, "Get that guy, am I right?" Woo! And then all the nerds will pick you up and shift you over there.
It's true.
We'll be like, "Pick him up, pick him up."
Wooing is an undeniable force.
Yeah, we should do that. Be the obnoxious podcasters, like. I thought it was, you gotta woo for it. You want my opinion.
Well, we always can say, how are you, Seattle, Idaho?
Yeah, exactly.
So, based on how many people call us at 801-896-4335 or email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com, I think it's going to be dead. There's going to be no audience there.
I guess the listeners are going to have to prove us long.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah, if you're there, show up. Don't be a dork. Be a geek.
Ooh.
That's the slogan.
Yep.
Pat Penning. Trademark. Copyright 2011.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. So I also wanted to go back or talk about... Okay. So Fitbit also came out with some new watches, along with the Apple. I kind of want to go back and talk about that.
Oh, the Fitbit's waterproof, and it's a watch, and it counts lap time.
Yeah, the new one is really, really nice. I'm impressed. Yeah. I still have not figured out if, because the popular thing when they are making them waterproof now, they're losing the barometer.
I'm cool with that.
I'm not.
I got the crappy one because so I could swim. And I hate this thing. I tap on it, and it shows me one little dot, and I'm like, screw you. How many steps?
Do you guys think that the Fitbit has been making much of a difference? Like, I hear about the Fitbit a lot, but...
It did in the short term. In the long term, I'm back to the way I was before.
Yeah, for the most part, I kind of... Well, it's like the scale. I like their scale, all integration,
so
all that.
It's just a nice distracting toy that you glance
at.
Yeah, you
go.
Well, no, I do wear my... I've grown up with a watch. It is a nice watch. I did move from a regular metal analog watch to this officially. I like, I don't like pulling my phone out of my pocket. I'm not a pocket watch person.
So I really like it for the feature that it wakes me up. So it vibrates to wake me up. Now I had the first thing like this I had was the Jawbone by Up. Yeah, and usually Up makes like speakers, or the Up by Jawbone, that's, I think. Yeah. Anyways, I think Jawbone's the company, and the Up was the name of the thing. But anyways, what it did...
The company Jawbone.
Well, there's speaker. They had a speaker, and it looked like a Jawbone, so they were like, we'll just name it after the speaker, because we're cool.
That's a weird thing, too. It's like, this looks like a Jawbone. They couldn't be like, it looks like a U, or it looks like a curve. They're like, no.
And it's like you ripped off someone's jaw and just.
And like the next product, they were just like, looks like fallopian tubes. They're just like some psychopath has been naming like all these pieces of consumer electronics over pieces like human anatomy.
I'm going to look that up. Just mysterious anatomical companies and see if they're all subsidiaries of this one ultra company owned by one.
Gonna name a Jawbone.
But the nice thing was,
what are the bones you got?
It would pay attention to your movement, and you had a 30-minute window. So you'd set the time that you wanted the alarm to go off, and it would look to see if you woke up in that time frame or you came out of your deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It would start vibrating then. Otherwise, it would vibrate at the end. And it's so much nicer being awoken from a light sleep than a deep sleep.
Uh-huh.
Like, it makes a big difference about how you feel in the morning.
Huh.
But I had to stop wearing it. It was made kind of crappily. Actually, it was made so bad, the first one got recalled, and they just sent everybody who asked for a new one. And they didn't have you send in the old one or anything like that.
Oh, no.
So,
actually, Fitbit's really good with that, too. if you, you have a one-year warranty if you buy it through a official realtor, which in the U.S. is pretty much everybody.
Realtor?
Retailer?
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I was going to say, you'd sell me my house and my family.
They've expanded.
Yeah, exactly. But that's most of the sellers in the U.S. Amazon's one, all that. Overseas, it's a little different. But, okay, the things I like about Fitbit, like, the Apple Watch is cool and everything. You know, it's one of the smartwatches, but I don't like needing to charge my watch daily like my phone. That my Fitbit does survive days. This new one, it still survives. They're like, it's 4+ days. And depending on how much what you do with it, whether it's constantly updating or not, whether you're having push notifications, which I do like, is that I can see, like, my phone can be on silent, and I can see text come in. I can see that phone call. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting a phone call. I can, you know, swipe it away. The alarm is nice. What's nice is with the new one is it was a pedometer with some smartwatch features. Now it's getting more smart features, like I can make wireless pay.
That sounds horrible. Why? Something on your wrist that makes wireless payments.
What?
That's just a horrible.
No,
you're sitting on the bus, and someone behind you just comes up, pushes the button they need to push, and then boom, $200. Woohoo!
No, there is security things that you can't just, like, you know, tap. Plus, the other thing is, I don't want to touch those dirty machines that everyone else has touched their credit card to.
You know what?
But you're touching everything that's dirty.
I don't want to. I'm out. I don't.
Bill?
Europe has gotten past it.
Bill,
why do we have to deal with these
open handles? Or do you touch
handles? No. I like walking. I actually go to a Maverick. The door is open for me.
You refuse to enter anywhere.
I don't want to touch anything.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, because you touch your own doorknob, right? I've touched your doorknob, and I've touched
Actually,
those
I
doors.
Do not touch my doorknob. I have a garage door that
you
opens
still have
for me.
To touch a door to get into the house from the garage.
And I've come in through that door.
Are you secretly a vampire and you can't enter places? That's why you like automatic doors.
That's why I like all the automaticness. That's why my home is smart.
Come in.
My house just lets me in. I walk up, it opens for me.
Bill, some germs are good for you.
Germs aside, like all these quality of life features that we keep seeing built into Apple products just read like a dystopia. Like, on the one hand, it's fun to giggle about, like, oh, it's just like in Black Mirror. But, I mean, there's reasons they wrote those pieces of fiction about these things. Like, we can tell technology is going toward, oh, yeah, biometrics are going to become a big encroaching thing in your life. And it's going to get to, like, the point that, like, your device starts to own you. Those are side effects that we can choose not to, like, participate in. So, like, selling consumer products for, like, $1,000 a pop to, like, do these things that we're existentially horrified at is insane.
Yeah, Alex, case A, the guy with the flip phone.
Yeah, and the guy with the normal watch that I never have to charge, and I've had a battery in it for 3 years.
I really think if Apple or somebody came out and said, hey, here's an easy-to-use phone, it costs $500, it lasts all day, and, like, run all your favorite apps for, like, the next, like, 5 years... I think people would go for that. Like, I think people want, like, a Toyota Prius of phones. They don't want, like, want the weird hamster car that Kia makes.
And Bill, this was the truth, because last week I couldn't do the podcast. I was at the fair, and I teased my wife about this because she didn't have her Fitbit, and we walked everywhere.
Oh, why'd she get out of bed then?
No,
you don't have your Fitbit?
I said,
it's worthless.
We walked all over the place, and she's like, but I didn't get my steps. And I said, you know your body only cares about you actually walking and doesn't care that it got logged on a stupid watch.
My Fitbit died because there was an update, and I looked at my watch. I actually looked at it for the time. Let's go with that. And it gave me the dead face.
Yeah. You guys, guess who never keeps track of their steps?
I know.
That's me. I go to the gym and I get fit. That's what it takes.
I can go to the gym and get fit,
yes,
too.
Yes, you can.
But here's the other thing. Do you like to listen to your music while you get fit?
No. Nope.
You don't listen to anything.
I don't listen to
anything. I still listen to music, but I don't need a Fitbit.
I don't know. The Fitbit stores music.
That's true.
And your Bluetooth headphones connect to your watch.
So the one that I've got, I swim a lot. I like to swim. And I have a hard time keeping track of how many laps I've actually done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do a half an hour and then just do that. And then I upload it here, and it tells me, like, how many laps I did and how much space I did and, like, how fast I did them and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And that helps me, because the next time I know that I, like, kind of phoned it in the last time, and I can do better than that one. So, like, it did push me when I was exercising. It did push me to exercise better, because it's hard to for me to like keep track of every single lap that I did.
Actually, that is nice. Is there the personal analytics? I do have to admit that. Like when I was actually getting my steps, it was, hey, how close am I? It was nice to get these steps.
And the ones that do your heart rates are really, really nice too, because it'll tell you like you're at a certain heart rate level and, you know, if you can keep it there or whatnot. But it also says like how long you were at those different levels of your heart rate, which is useful. I've read that I read that the calorie burn is just a guess.
I heard when you have certain heart rates, it's better.
Well, yeah, it is for sure. But as far as them saying you definitely burn 250 calories in this workout, it's just a guess.
That's an additional precision, but it's a gratuitous additional precision. Because
I don't need to take a notebook to say I did this.
I don't need a notebook.
Yeah.
You don't care. You don't care how many laps around you made. You don't care how.
No, I pay attention. I go until I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I go until I'm tired.
But okay, you're tired, but you knowing those analytics means you've been going less and less. You've been getting tired sooner and sooner.
You can still like scan your body though, because I have
scan your body.
Yeah, because I went on a 5K like last week, and then I haven't ran in months, and it slaughtered me. Before I even got to the official time, I knew, like, I was like, I bet it's like 10 minutes worse than my best time like a year ago, and it was 10 minutes worse because I know my body. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know my body. I need the text to tell me.
That's the thing, is you can, you don't need technology.
You really don't.
Need to have a line.
You can get a solid metric, like, when you're lifting
weights.
Okay,
for me, I need it.
Yes. I think you'd be surprised if you actually measured it. Like, some days you get exhausted, mm-hmm. but you do way less than you did on other days.
No, that's true. It's possible, but I don't need to go 100% all the time to get into better shape. I just need to be consistent about it.
See, I have that thing. I can gain weight. If I exercise, I can gain lots of muscle. Mm-hmm. If I don't exercise, I gain lots of fat. Mm-hmm. Those are my options, which means I need those numbers.
Some of us need to see it to measure too.
And also, it does help
to see.
Once a week you step on a scale or something like that. If you're gaining weight, you're doing something wrong. If you're losing weight, you're doing something.
Actually, no, that is an absolute lie. Okay. Are you gaining weight? How do you know it was just muscle? How do you know it wasn't just muscle?
Usually,
how do you know
your
Fitbit
tell you your
like
percentages
retaining
of fat
water?
And
my Fitbit scale tells me my percentage of fat.
Like all of this is approximations, and the Fitbit
scale.
Yeah,
that's based off of it. Sends electrical. Yes, it is not the perfect, but the only one that's perfect is the dropping you in water one. But they're all based off of that, whether it's the pinch one or whether it's the electricity one.
Even if they drop you in water, they still don't know the exact density of your bones. You'd have to do a lot of measurements to get it.
But they can do
perfect.
More.
It's pretty close. Yeah. But people have different bone densities and whatnot. So.
But we actually need to start wrapping up. Sorry.
I will say.
If you don't need the metrics, we need the metrics. You guys don't.
I was going to say people. Well, I'll save it for my final last words, I guess.
All right. Famous last words. Go, Alex.
Famous last words.
Check out the new Metroid game coming out on the 3DS. It's good.
The next Fitbit's going to have nanomachines that tell you when you need to poop.
I'll go for that.
Because people will be like, I can't trust my body signals.
I need
that.
And
then my watch is saying, time to poop.
There's a man named Fuke. F-U-C-H, and he had a theorem.
I like doing the Fitbit challenges. They're fun.
I love my power glove. It's so rad.
Microanalytics. Google gives me the information. My Fitbit gives me information. I know all about my life. Someday.